This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noelle Lim. Now, yesterday, 2,148 new COVID cases were recorded, the first time cases have breached the 2,000 mark in over a month. Now, while the bulk of new cases came from Sarawak with 512, Selangor was not far behind at 459 cases. It's a sobering reminder that we are far from overcoming the pandemic at this point, and vigilance is necessary to keep the virus from spreading.
And in light of the higher case count, the Ministry of Health has proposed to extend the interstate travel ban beyond April 28th, possibly affecting any Hari Raya Aidilfitri plans. Additionally, the crowded scenes at Ramadan bazaars over the past few days have raised concerns over whether these venues will further spread the COVID-19 virus. Basically, are we doing enough to protect ourselves and the community in this pandemic?
And joining us to weigh in on this conversation is Tan Sri Dr. Jamilah Mahmood, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health. Good morning, Tan Sri. Thanks for joining us today. Now, what do you think is behind the rise in case numbers? Is it simply down to poor compliance with SOPs, or is it because of higher numbers of testing?
Good morning. The numbers are rising globally. WHO recently came out with a report and a warning that as a result of vaccine rollout and generally a bit of lack of compliance as a result, people thinking that once they've got their vaccine, they don't have to comply to public health measures, or the long, you know, pandemic fatigue that has set in has also led to people, you know, loosening their guard on the public health measures has actually led to this rise. So it's unsurprising that Malaysia is also going through the same thing. So it's a combination of pandemic fatigue, a bit of complacency, and definitely a lack in observing the standard operating procedures.
We've reached the 2,000 mark again in terms of number of cases. Is there a case to further tighten movements again nationally?
I think it's a case for concern. Let's start with that first, that there is a rise that we have seen increasingly over the last few weeks. Now, what we have to do is look into the details of this rise. If we look into the heat maps that the Ministry of Health produces, you will see that, you know, some of the states which traditionally had green districts and yellow districts, a lot of them have now become red, which means that there are more cases in these areas. So what we need to look at is, you know, as you rightly pointed out earlier, it's Sarawak, it's Selangor, Wilayah Persekutuan, you know, and some other, Kelantan, for example, that are really the hot spots. And therefore, you know, any decisions we make now has got to be also quite targeted. But generally, if the numbers keep rising, then there needs to be a bit more, you know, broader action that has to be taken.
That's right. Overall, are the cases in these areas more focused or are they widespread? Should we be worried about a general community spread at this juncture?
Yes, I think one of the things we need to really worry about is the arrival of the variants, particularly the UK 1711, B1711, and the South African B1351. Now, these have been shown to be not only more virulent, they spread easily, but they also cause quite severe disease. We, you know, God forbid, we hope we never get the P1 from Brazil, and also the Breton virus variation, which is really quite worrying because it can't even be detected on regular PCR. So with the arrival of this variant, we have seen, first of all, it was quite contained because the Ministry of Health does gene sequencing on patients who have been diagnosed with COVID-19, but lately we've been finding that they are also present in community, which means that either there may be breaches in compliance to quarantine or the virus has escaped into the system and infected someone probably working in a quarantine center. I don't have the details, but it is enough cause for worry that it is now in the community. And once it's in the community, you need a super spreader event to actually get it to flare up.
So, Tan Sri, Ramadan bazaars have come under the spotlight for potentially violating SOPs. Is there a way for bazaars to be held safely in order to avoid such a super spreader event as you describe? Or would it be better to do everything digitally as we did last year?
You know, the huge challenge we face in Malaysia is trying to balance economy and health. It's easy for people like me to say, you know, we can have MCOs, but the reality is a lot of people suffer, and that can also have a serious, you know, consequence to their health and well-being if they can't get, you know, food on the table. So what we need to do is find, you know, that balance. Now, last year, as you recall, we did not have the Ramadan bazaar. We had more of, you know, using, you know, our mobile sort of digital technology-based platforms to get our food supplies. So this year, you know, there were some quite stringent SOPs being developed, but also good engagement with the, you know, the associations of the, you know, small businesses and so forth. Now, it's clear that the SOPs seem to not be followed because we're seeing lots of photographs. I don't even know now whether photographs are doctored or not, but even passing some of the Bazaar Ramadan close to where I live, I just drive past and I'm quite worried because I see the numbers of people are quite high. So the onus is really on each of us as individuals, you know, to protect ourselves. If you see a large crowd, avoid it or go early to get your stuff. And then the other thing, of course, is enforcement. I think this was discussed and I think we really need to step up the enforcement. Enforcement as well, as you can see, there was an uproar because it has to be evenly applied. And everyone, you know, if there's an enforcement, everyone should be treated the same and really, you know, have the right measures been put in place. So what do we do now, you know, in terms of the numbers rising, Ramadan bazaars still going on, is to keep reminding everyone that they have to, you know, ensure that if they don't protect themselves, then everyone's going to be affected. So if we at individual level do that, then chances are, you know, the virus cannot transfer.
The Ministry of Health has proposed to extend the interstate travel ban, which will mean another riot at home. Is this an inevitable conclusion, you reckon?
I think if the numbers keep rising and the data is showing us that it is, you know, travellers that are bringing diseases, for example, to Kelantan, they're seeing that, you know, there are a lot of people coming to the state and that has, you know, created that rise as well. So it may be inevitable, but my message really is there will always be other Hari Rayas, there will always be other gatherings, but this is just such a difficult time we're facing now in Malaysia and globally. We just have to hang on and, you know, persist.
So since the last time we spoke to you, Tan Sri, on the vaccination program, what's your assessment of the progress of our vaccination rollout? Because, you know, there are obviously hurdles to registration and things like that, but also we've heard reports of notifications being sent for phase 2 vaccines, but people not responding, with some even declining. Overall, what's the assessment of the progress and how is the government addressing the hurdles?
First of all, I think that we have to date managed to register about 36% of the target population. If you recall the last time we spoke, I said it's not difficult to get to 50%. The challenge will be to getting to 70%. So Malaysians still have a wait and see attitude. In terms of those responding to the MySejahtera notifications, what we are hearing though from the data from the team behind MySejahtera is people actually respond quite fast. So there may be some who don't respond, but generally the uptake for those who've received the notification has been quite positive. What we need to do is persist, right? Again, I had a very interesting conversation with the French ambassador who told me when they first polled the French population, it was like 57% who did not want to take the vaccine, and it has changed drastically. They've now, you know, vaccinated about 13 million people or something. But, you know, attitudes change because of constant, you know, campaigns and making people understand, but also realizing that there is no other way that we can manage to control this. You know, mutations will happen. Mutations don't happen when viruses are not allowed to replicate. So if you allow the virus to replicate, it will continually mutate and cause more problems. So how do we make sure they don't replicate? One is get the vaccine. Number two is observe the SOPs and avoid a rise in numbers.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Tan Sri. That was Tan Sri Dr. Jameelah Mahmood, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health, giving us a bit of an update around the COVID-19 developments we've seen lately. Also, we've been running a poll on the subject on Twitter. Roshan, what are we asking?
Does the rise in COVID-19 cases warrant more movement restrictions? Tell us why. 70% say yes, 18% say no, 12% say not sure. But essentially, with all this in mind, and following what Tan Sri said as well, it's layers of protection, the Swiss cheese model, everyone. Protect yourselves. Nothing is foolproof. But if you layer them together, we lower the chances of spreading the virus. And of course, we don't want to see those variants.
Indeed, we don't. Right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Xiaoning will be speaking with Bradley Hope, co-author of the book Blood and Oil, Mohammed bin Salman's Ruthless Quest for Global Power. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.